The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And Janet usually introduces the program, but we're giving her voice a little extra rest today. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Wait. Take my word for it. That really is Janet. And I understand we have a guest today. Is our guest on the line already?
I can't hear.
Yeah. Well,
this is going to be an interesting show.
Okay, so when we hear about our guest, at that time we'll introduce him. Now, Janet, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the programs for the last couple of days when I was talking about things. And one of the topics that I found very interesting, and it bears repeating because this is really very interesting, was when we were talking about vaccines in the context of whether or not they work. And they always point to the polio vaccine as the example of how great a vaccine is. It eradicated polio. Until you actually read some of the facts about that and you realize that they were changing the definition of polio. They were, okay, we're going to, we'll come back to that another time. I just was told our guest is on the line. He's Neil E. Levin. He's the clinical nutritionist and president of American Nutrition Association. And he's the nutrition educator, or actually the manager of nutrition education at Now Foods. Good morning, Mr. Levin.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin and Janet. I saw her last night, but good morning.
All right. I don't know if we have a difficult time hearing on our end, so I'm just seeing if we can turn up the volume, if that would make a difference. Okay. All right, so the reason we have you on today, my understanding, is we're going to talk about genetically modified foods. Can you give our listeners a little background as far as what's the status of genetically modified foods currently?
Well, genetically modified foods in the United States are not really regulated. They've been decided for over 20 years that they're equivalent to non-genetically engineered foods, which means that they don't require specific government approvals. There's an assumption of safety. And when you're looking at certain foods, soybeans, corn, things like that, over 90% of the crops in the United States are genetically modified today.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
Okay, and we're back. We can't hear Janet. We couldn't hear the guests, but I think now we have everything straightened out. I'm sure our listeners heard the introduction for Neil Levin. And our question to him was, what's the state of genetically modified foods currently in the country?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Okay, great.
Okay. Well, genetically modified foods in the United States are very lightly regulated. They don't typically require pre-market approval. There's an assumption that they're equivalent to the non-genetically modified or conventional crops, which is actually pretty silly when you realize that they're patented and unique, so they have to be different. And, in fact, the government doesn't really require even long-term feeding studies to show what effects they have on animals, even though previous published studies have shown problems. So when you're looking at certain crops, and in our country, we're looking at crops such as corn, soybeans, cotton, cottonseed oil is often used in a lot of mass market brands, canola oil, sugar beets, which represents about a third of the sugar supply in our country, zucchini, yellow squash, papaya, and alfalfa are all typically genetically modified without any labeling.
Now, you work with one of the nutrition supplement companies. And I would just, as a rule, what's the status of, with any company, and you can be specific if you want, with avoiding GMOs in nutrition supplement products?
Well, in general, the vitamins are non-genetically modified. The and herbs in general are also non-genetically modified. When you're looking at things like soy protein or things like that, lecithin, those are really where the issues are in the supplement industry, not so much the normal vitamins, minerals, and herbs. Now, there's a very short list of things that are genetically modified. So most foods, most crops, most herbs are not genetically modified. So it's like saying they're non-GMO is almost like saying water is fat-free. You kind of know it is because there is no version of water that contains fat, and there's no version of many, many, many crops that have been genetically modified.
All right, so if an individual walks into a health food store and they want to buy protein, and it's a soy protein, they really should look for the label to say non-GMO because they're still making soy proteins, I presume, that are genetically modified.
You should presume it is if it doesn't say it's not, yes.
All right. And, on yesterday's program, I mentioned something that was very interesting. When we talk about genetically modified foods, it's really the ability of the crops that are grown that way to withstand Roundup, an herbicide, the active ingredient being glyphosate. Glyphosate is a xenoestrogen, and it's got a lot of serious risks associated with it, not just to the microbiome, our digestive tract, but as a xenoestrogen, it could play a role in increasing the incidence of breast cancer, prostate cancer, other hormonally related illnesses.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, they've also shown in some studies that there's five different mechanisms by which Roundup and glyphosate herbicides can make people more sensitive to gluten, to wheat. And we've seen an explosion in the last 15 years of gluten intolerance and celiac disease. And if you map the hospital diagnosed incidences of celiac disease, severe intolerance to wheat, over the last 15 years, and graph it with the increase in the Roundup and glyphosate use over that time, it's the same steep curve where celiac disease diagnosis and for Roundup increased use.
You know, and I've seen that, and I don't know if they're entirely sure that it's making people more sensitive to gluten, or perhaps all the symptoms that they're attributing to gluten might be a result of being exposed to the glyphosate. It's a serious problem because, as we're learning now, the microbiome is related to so many illnesses in the body, including neurological illnesses, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. People really have to be aware of this and take every step they can to prevent their exposure to these toxins. Now, here's a question I have. More and more of Roundup is being used on crops as the weeds become more resistant to that product, and there's a lot of runoff into the water supply. Is anybody evaluating the concentration of the glyphosate in the water supply?
There's been some toxicology journals that have looked at that issue, and they're actually saying that the level of the Roundup and glyphosate should be far lower of what's allowed than what is currently allowed. That they are showing, as you mentioned, the neurological effects and attention deficit issues in children at very low levels of these pesticides. So there has been a call to lower the use, to monitor it more in the food and water supply. There's really an explosion in the use of that particular herbicide since the GMO crops came out, which specifically most of them are designed to allow the use of far more of this herbicide to get rid of competing weeds because it's tolerant. It makes the crops tolerant to that pesticide. So they're using far more. As you mentioned, it's a very potent xenoestrogen or environmental estrogen. And, people are worried about soy being an estrogen. If you go to the American Cancer Society's webpage, they say there is no evidence that eating soy foods is bad for people who have had breast cancer or prostate cancer. There's no evidence. It's an assumption because the estrogen that's in plants, but the same types of phytoestrogens or plant estrogens are in all legumes. And legumes in general lower the risk of breast cancer, prostate cancer, and colorectal cancer by 30% in a number of studies and reviews.
All right. I mean, but there's a reason for that. And that's how they used to promote the soy products as well. They used to say that will block your exposure to the harmful estrogens in the environment if you take these weak estrogens in the form of protection. We're speaking today with Neil Levin, clinical nutritionist and president of the American Nutrition Association. He's also the manager of nutrition education at Now Foods. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us this morning, you may not know it, is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, M.D., and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and I'm doing the talking today for Janet. But Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, is with us today. And we also have a special guest today, Emil Levin, clinical nutritionist and president of the American Nutrition Association, and a nutrition education manager for Now Foods. We'll be talking about the genetically modified organisms. Music keeps going. I don't know if anybody is hearing
okay,
me or not.
Here we go.
And so hopefully you heard the introduction again. We're talking with Neil Levin about genetically modified foods. And how do, okay, if I'm a consumer, I hope we've said enough to convince people you want to avoid genetically modified foods because of the contamination with all these herbicides, the excessive amount of herbicides being used with them, and just how prevalent. If people go into a supermarket now to buy food, and assuming they're not buying organic food, how prevalent would components of genetically modified substances be in there in the food they're buying?
Well, in terms of the corn, the soybeans, the canola, and cottonseed oils, they're very, very prevalent in the processed food sections, or in other words, the center areas of a grocery store. They're certainly not present in verified non-GMO products. GMOs would not be present in certified organic products because that's not allowed and actually has to be protected against in the farm plan and the auditing for any kind of organic crop. So getting organic and non-GMO foods assure you that you're not going to get them. The GMOs have other issues. For example, there's a number of studies showing that genetically modified foods have unexplained food reactions, immune reactions, allergy-type reactions that were not present in the original food. So it might be that you're getting some kind of a bean product or something, and it has a tree nut gene in there, and someone who's allergic to tree nuts is going to react to it. So, and then, they've shown that actually happening in some experiments. So by not labeling the genetically modified or GMO foods, people are at risk not only from the pesticide, herbicide type use and the estrogens, they're at risk of unexplained, undetected potential new allergens that could be affecting people, and there's simply no way to track it because there's no labeling.
And by the way, there's no labeling by law. The law was passed to preclude the labeling of genetically modified foods. Therefore, the people that have that are GMO-free are putting their labels on, stating things are GMO-free. If the way I look at things, if you have nothing to hide and you're not trying to, if your product is perfectly safe, you shouldn't have any concerns about the labeling, whether it's GMO or GMO-free. The trouble is they don't have the studies to back up the safety that they're stating, that they're saying GMO foods are equivalent to regular foods, you know, no more dangerous, just as safe, but they don't have the studies to back that up. And in fact, the studies that were done in laboratory animals show that they cause a lot of disease in those animals when they're given GMO products.
That's true. And in fact, the advocates for GMOs, and you know, a lot of the scientific journals, a lot of the universities have bought in on this because the universities are partners in the patents on these genetically modified crops and the biotechnology. They have joint ventures between universities, professors, and grad students who are doing the research to commercially develop these products and to set up incubators for this, so that it's been a completely corrupted educational system that's behind that. And this is very troubling. The GMO seed companies are controlling the patents to the extent that they're not allowing their seeds to be used in research unless they have a right to veto publication of the results after they're done. So in a number of cases, the biotechnology companies have allowed research and then not allowed it to come to print because they control the seeds. Farmers are not allowed to save them and replant them. They're actually leasing seeds under a license. They're not buying them. They don't own them.
The problem, as I see it, is they, like you said, these are patented products. When you patent something, it means it's not natural. Never before seen on Earth. This is a made-up product. And yet it seems, unlike a patented drug that has to go through trials, they start off with animal trials, then they go to human trials before it ever gets approval to be used. Doesn't seem like any of the genetically modified foods are going through any through that process.
No, and they allow simply a 90-day animal feeding study, which is not even a complete life cycle or a fertility cycle even. You know, they're not looking at the offspring when they have done offspring studies. There was a rat study in Russia where they gave genetically modified soy and fed that to the rats. And on the non-GMO soy, about 9% of the babies died. On the GMO soy, 55% of the babies died.
No, I think this is a real eye-opener, and it's one thing to go into the supermarket and look for labels and avoid GMOs. What if you're eating out in restaurants? You know, how do you protect yourself there?
Well, that's very difficult. Some chains like Chipotle are going to brag about their organic offerings, but in most cases, the restaurants are not labeling. You have no idea what they're using. Corn is probably the hardest thing to avoid if you're talking about GMOs in processed food. Corn is in many, many, many processed foods. They're using corn starch. They're using corn derivatives, corn oil. Soybean oil is actually easier, and soy products are easier to avoid. And the ones that are commonly used in food like vitamin E or lecithin are processed so much they actually don't contain GMOs, even if they may have been derived from GMO soy. So soy is actually easier to avoid than corn.
To put things in perspective with regard to corn, the demand for organic corn has increased so much that this country has to import organic corn to meet the demand because we're not growing it in this country.
No, in general, we are not growing the organics and non-GMOs. You know, we're growing small amounts. But, yes, we have to import a lot of the organic and non-GMO products now because America has bought into the myth that GMO crops are superior. In agricultural performance in general, they are not superior, except for you don't have to cultivate your fields mechanically and till up the weeds because you're using a spray instead. I mean, that much is true. But the crop yields are not better. The cost is not better. The soil health is not better. In long-term studies, organic always comes out superior for farmers, and for consumers in terms of nutrition.
Yeah, a large percentage of the corn and soy crops are being used for livestock feed. What's happening to the animals being fed the genetically modified soy and corn?
I can answer question.
That's Janet.
Because I do have someone who is working with livestock producers, and the GI disturbance in the animals fed genetically modified corn is overwhelming. They are dying. Number one, the offspring are dying, as was indicated in that study of the rats, but in addition, they are, in just straight out terms, suffering with diarrhea so lethal that the animals die. The loss is staggering.
Now, I hope our listeners are familiar with the initials HFCS.
Yes.
Yeah. High fructose corn syrup. It comes from genetically modified corn. You have to avoid that product. And not to mention, it's also contaminated with mercury. So you have to read labels and look for these things, because if you do that, you'd really want to change the menu of what you're eating. Now, we mentioned, that our guest today is the manager of nutrition education for Now Foods. So what is the... what is your goal, and who are you educating when you're, is this for the public? Is that your, to educate the public about certain things?
I just got back from Dubai, where I did trainings for pharmacists and cardiologists on obesity and diabetes and avoiding that with the use of nutrition and dietary supplements. So I'm doing this all over the world. And we do distribute products in countries like that, typically through pharmacies. Most countries don't have health food stores. So we're having to work with registering products as over-the-counter drugs and selling them through pharmacies in about 60 countries around the world. In the United States, I'm working with consumers. I'm working with staff at health food stores. I'm doing radio programs and consumer events. I'm giving a talk tonight at the Natural Products Association trade show in Orlando, which is on another topic, but talking about obesity and diabetes and nutrition, that kind of thing. So, trying to spread the message of what science there is behind nutrition and how people can use it to their advantage. So, anywhere from consumers to health food store operators to practitioners.
They haven't invited you to any medical meetings, have they?
Foreign ones, yes. Not so much in the United States.
Right. I want to make that point clear. When I go to medical meetings, they're the ones that actually promote the natural products, like the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine or the American College for the Advancement of Medicine. But if you go to a mainstream medical conference, they will not even allow in nutrition companies. It's all drug companies being promoted at those conventions, and actually they pay in part for the convention. So the doctors are not getting the education that they should have. Their patients are, hopefully. And in fact, as more and more patients just learn about their choices, we're seeing I guess it's a yearly increase in alternative approaches to health care as opposed to the drug care. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, America certainly has the finest emergency medicine capability in the world. But for chronic health issues, the diabetes and obesity and heart disease and things, we really have a very, very poor record. Cancer, there's been a war on cancer since the late 1960s, early 1970s. Cancer rates have actually gone up. So, it's kind of like the war on drugs. We seem to be losing it because we're not going about it the right way. you know, the way to prevent cancer is through diet, lifestyle, attitude, you know, all kinds of issues like that, emotional states. You know, there's a lot of other factors there that are not being addressed by conventional Western medicine. And that's why they have a poor record on these long-term chronic conditions versus the acute conditions where medicine is just so good at.
Well, okay, there's that music, which means it's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Joining us today is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and our special guest today, Neil Levin, who's the clinical nutritionist and president of the American Nutrition Association, also the nutrition education manager for Now Foods, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991. To learn more, 954-748-4991.
Mm-hmm. Live. Hello.
All right, then. There we go. And we're listening to Natural Doc Radio. We had one glitch after another today. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. With me is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Our special guest, Neil Levin, clinical nutritionist and president of the American Nutrition Association and nutrition education manager for Now Foods. I want to, before we get back to our discussion, just remind everybody, our sponsor, Advanced Medical Testing Centers, has an event this Saturday from 8 to 11. We may be filled up, but that doesn't mean you can't give them a call and get on the list for the next event, January 9th, from 8 to 11. It's their way of introducing you to a better drawing center for doing testing. Give you an example. You know, they have a test now that they can test for glyphosate. We've been talking about that. You're not going to get that at LabCorp or Quest. They don't have that test. So if you want to have... take better control of what your health and everything. You can tell your doctor, order the test, and come on down because they'll honor the insurance, too. They'll put the insurance through to the different labs that they send the blood work out to. So you can go to their website, amtcenters.com. You can read about what we do, what they do there. You can call them for an appointment, if not for this Saturday, for January 9th at 754-216-2332. I want to remind our listeners, you remember back in 2001, George Bush made a comment, and you'll remember what the context was. You're either for us or against us. And I think it applies to health, too. Either you're for good health or you're against good health. And my feeling is, if in this country, if they're still recommending the use of genetically modified foods, they're not for good health. In fact, we know that they want to perpetuate illness because this is how so many companies make a lot of money. Now, to put things in perspective, Russia will no longer import GMO products, stating that the nation has enough space and enough resources to produce organic food. And they go on to say, if the Americans like to eat GMO products, let them eat it. But in Russia, we don't need to do that. We have enough space and opportunities to produce organic food. Russia has been considering joining the long list and continually growing list of anti-GMO countries for quite some time now. It does so after a group of Russian scientists urged the government to consider at least a 10-year moratorium on GMOs to thoroughly study their influence on human health. There is no studies done on human health and GMOs, and yet they go full steam ahead in this country promoting this, and you just have to, you know, follow the money trail where, you know, that's why the politicians don't do anything to stop this. But we can, as consumers, we can do our part. Just get organically grown food or look for that GMO-free label on foods, and that in itself will stop it, because if you can't sell a GMO food, they're going to disappear.
Local green markets are a really good source, not necessarily of GMO-free, but possibly you're going to find at these local green markets foods from farmers that are in the process of no longer applying glyphosate-containing pesticides to their crops. So they can't be considered organic, but they are pesticide-free.
Well, here's another problem associated with the GMO crops, is that the seeds that you have to buy from Monsanto that are resistant to glyphosate, you have to buy them year after year because those plants are sterile. You know, so the traditional seeds are becoming more scarce for farmers to find. And so you have companies now sort of hijacking our food supply because they're controlling the source of seeds. That's not a good thing. And there's more to it than glyphosate. They incorporate other toxins in the seed to resist pesticides, and nobody has really studied how that affects the health of the consumer. So here again, you just have to do your part and buy organic, buy non-GMO, and maybe this issue will wither on the vine, since the politician's not going to do anything about it.
No pun intended.
So, I want to make another comment here that you know, people say, well, I've been eating, I haven't been avoiding GMOs, and I feel fine. You're not going to find the symptoms overnight. These symptoms are cumulative. When you disrupt your own microbiome, the gut bacteria, it takes time for it to do its damage. Just like if you're exposed to arsenic, you know, a little bit over time, eventually you die from it. It doesn't happen overnight unless someone gives you a really large dose, but we're not talking about large doses of lethal substances. These are small doses of chronically dangerous substances that accumulate over time.
Neil, what are some of the major nutrient differences between genetically modified foods and conventionally grown foods? Are there specific nutrients that are missing or in different levels?
Actually, yes. In university studies that have been published, they're finding that the proteins are different, the amino acids are different, the vitamin A and vitamin E are different in the genetically modified versus conventional foods. The starches tend to be the same, but all the other nutritional aspects tend to be different. And different enough that they should not be considered substantially equivalent to conventional crops, which is the legal fiction by which they're allowed on the market without all the testing, that they're roughly equivalent to non-GMO versions of the same plant. But when they do experiments where they grow a genetically modified plant in a plot next to a non-GMO plant, and it's the same environment, the same water, the same pests, the same sunlight, everything else, except one's genetically modified, they still find nutritional differences attributed solely to the GMO process. And when you're changing the genetics of a plant, there's unexpected, unexplained, unpredictable consequences. It is not a controlled process, as we're being told.
So things like the mineral difference would be identifiable, and different vitamins would be in different levels. It's okay. Here's a question that's bothered me for a very long time. In some health food stores, there is canola oil that is labeled organic. Is it possible that the canola that comes from the rape seed, which is a genetically modified seed, is there non-GMO rape seed?
There is. The canola was developed conventionally by crossbreeding in the 1960s. And so there does exist non-GMO as well as certified organic canola oil products. The just because they have 95% of the current North American crop happens to be genetically modified, the same would go for corn. That doesn't mean corn was developed with GMOs or that all corn is genetically modified. It's all been modified in terms of crossbreeding and that kind of thing, but not in terms of this genetic manipulation.
Okay, that's important, I think, for people to know. But, Dr. Slavin?
Well, I think we have to sort of redefine certain terms we're using. You mentioned conventional crops. When you go into Whole Foods, conventional crops means non-organic.
Right.
And then you're saying conventional crops meaning before GMOs. So we have to say, I think it's getting a little confusing then what we're talking about. I think we should use the term organic crops. And then you can have non-organic GMO-free crops.
Yes.
I think the assumption is if you say conventionally grown, you don't know what they're. There could be pesticides on there. It could be GMO. You don't know what it is.
I'm expecting that there are pesticides applied to the conventional crops, but they are, not genetically modified seeds. A lot of details that we need to be expressing the differences.
All right, and it's time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. With us today is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and our special guest, Leo Levin, clinical nutritionist and president of the American Nutrition Association. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio. which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN Monday through Friday, 10 to 11.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and our special guest, Neil Levin. We're talking about genetically modified foods, and Janet brought up an interesting thought. You mentioned you lecture all over the world, actually, to physicians, not in this country, but in other countries. The physicians will listen to information about nutrition, and you say you lecture on diabetes and obesity and things like that. Have they found any connection between GMO foods and diabetes?
They haven't even looked, frankly. The studies have not been done. Long-term animal studies have not been done. They're not required by any country in the world for approval of genetically modified crops to be grown and sold to humans for food. Many countries do require labeling, including Syria, including China, including most of the European Union and much of the world. But the United States doesn't require it. Canada doesn't require it. The main growers are, like us, are happy to let consumers use it without any real proof that it's safe. But the constant mantra, the drumbeat of opinion, saying that there's no evidence it's unsafe, but of course nobody's looking, nobody's tracking.
Very much an unfortunate circumstance that other countries around the world are very much interested in understanding what they're exposing their populations to, but the United States is turning a blind eye to the potential dangers. One of the things that I point up to people on a pretty regular basis is infertility, and we have found traces of glyphosate in fetal blood and in the blood of pregnant women. It's very interesting to me that the animal studies showed such high mortality among offspring of mothers given GMO foods. So it doesn't seem to me to be a dramatic leap to say that potentially the exposure to genetically modified corn that's in all different types of food products, as you said, Neil, in the center of the grocery stores, it doesn't seem such a huge leap to expect that potentially the GMOs can have an effect on fertility of the population here in the United States. 20 years ago, you never saw a fertility clinic, or they were very, very rare. And now there's a fertility clinic in almost every city. Dr. Slavin?
I was just looking at Monsanto's website, and here's how they describe what they do. At Monsanto, we work to bring better seeds to farmers. We do this by having a world-class breeding program that aims at keeping the best plants adapted to the local conditions. And sometimes we use genetic modification to bring beneficial traits to the plant, such as the ability to tolerate drought better, resist herbicide applications or ward off pests.